Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Scout with us earlier today talking about the Celtics' woes, and they don't have a lot of woes, all right? They're not a woeful team like the Patriots or, you know, whoever. They are a good team that is going to get nitpicked. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. You're going to get nitpicked. You're that good, and you got three losses already. You're going to get nitpicked, especially when there's an undefeated team lurking out there that you have to play in less than a week. You play them your next NBA Cup group game. That's against Cleveland. That's next week, next Tuesday, when you will see them for the first time. Maybe they'll still be undefeated. Maybe they won't be, but they'll likely still have a better record than you, and I think that that's significant. So if they're going to turn this thing around, Cleveland's maybe not the team to do it against because they got some solid bigs there with Mobley and Allen and guys who can really box out and get rebounds and dominate the boards. But you don't need Mobley and Allen to out-rebound these Celtics. These Celtics have not been crashing the boards much lately. It's been reflected in the not only the numbers, but also, I think, in some of these wins. How'd they win that game last night? Okongwu goes up there and he taps it in.
Yep.
3 seconds. I mean, that's it. It was offensive rebounds. They were getting killed on the offensive glass. And that's not something that a championship team with a red-ass coach like Joe Mazzulla should be tolerating. I'm sorry. That's you can't be letting that happen. You can't just shrug your shoulders and say, oh, yeah, well, we got beat on the boards again by the Atlanta Hawks or by the Bucks or by whoever. These other teams who are inferior to you pretty much in every demonstrable way. And that's defense, that's boxing out, that's a lot of things that go into it, but for the last four or five games, it's been a real problem for them.
It absolutely has, and I don't know that I have a pure answer, because I do think it's funny that Scal talks about, we talk about rebounding, and I did it to start the show. Like, I do think rebounding is tied into effort. Maybe not as much as defense is, and he's certainly right that the whole follow your shot, crash the boards yep. thing that you hear from youth and high school and college coaches isn't really an NBA type thing, and the way everybody plays and five out and all those it's just different. It's a different game. But it needs to be better. You can't get out rebounded the way they did. You can't get out shot the way they did.
Yeah.
And consider yourself an elite team. And I don't know if it's effort. I don't know if it's lineup. I don't know. I mean, he didn't really say, yeah, Porzingis will fix that, because I think you kind of posed Porzingis as an opportunity, and he didn't really jump on board with, yeah, as soon as Porzingis is back, this will all be cleared up. And I agree with him. I don't think it's necessarily one guy.
I don't think so either. I don't think height is their problem.
Right.
They got Luke Kornet. He's tall. I mean, that's not, you know, if they were just worried, wow, these other guys are taller. That's not what's going on here. They're getting outworked. They're getting outpositioned, things like that. I mean, and some of it's luck. I mean, some of rebounding is just luck where the ball bounces. Who knows? That was sort of a lucky tap-in last night, but still.
But some of it's not, too.
Some of it's not, yeah.
Dennis Rodman, like, there was a reason he was a good rebounder. It
yep.
wasn't just luck. His ability to, you know, jump quickly, go down, come back up, tip the ball. There's an art to tipping the ball to yourself mm-hmm. sometimes. There's an art to tip outs and, you know, in modern basketball where it is sort of five out. You slap it out to a teammate in a certain spot. Like, there's different ways to do it, but they got to figure it out. And I do think it's a little symbolic. You know, the old Tommy Heinsohn, you look at maybe fouls, and
yep.
that's how you judge a game. Well, if you look at rebounds, I think generally the team that hustles more and is more physical has more rebounds. Like, just superficially.
Yeah.
I didn't see the game. I just saw the box score. If you got out-rebounded badly, I'm going to say you didn't play with great energy and you didn't play with great physicality. And that might be symbolic of a team that's not fully invested. Fully invested in what they want to do. I'll tell you, the Celtics right now feel like, you know what they want to do? Stand out and shoot threes.
Yep.
Stand out and shoot threes. Like, even Tatum. Scal was talking about that. Didn't love Tatum standing out there shooting threes. He wants him to drive and work his game inside out at times. And I just think that's who the Celtics are. And I think they have to be careful living up to their coach's philosophy to the point where other people say, well, I know how we're going to deal with that, mm-hmm. and we're going to beat you. We're going to let you play your game because we think we can beat you with a different style game.
Yeah. Jason Tatum, by the way, passed Tommy Heinsohn last night on the all-time Celtics scoring list. He's now 12th. To get into the top 10, he's going to have to eclipse 13,188, which is how many points JoJo White scored in his career. Tatum with 12,196 points at the age of 26. Could rocket right up this list, I'm telling you. I mean, if he's here for seven more years, you could see that happen. JoJo White, Dave Cowens is ahead of him. Russell is eighth. John Havlicek's the all-time leader at 26,000. I don't know if he'll get there or not. But, you know, Bird at 21,000 is in his sights, I would say. I think that's certainly a possibility. Parrish, McHale, you know, these are some other things. So Tatum, in terms of scoring, I think, just because you happen to mention Tommy Heinsohn, I thought, yep, I'd put that one out there. But generally, I would say that he's a guy. Jason Tatum's a good rebounder. Like, he's been a good rebounder, mm-hmm. in his career. He's not Jokic or anything like that, but he's been one of their most consistent guys rebounding, and I think some of this starts with him. He's not been shooting the ball as well, which we talked about, and the rebounding just hasn't been there. Now, I think this is stuff that's going to fix itself eventually, and I do think the Celtics will go back to their, not that they went away from it really, but winning ways, and these three losses are things that we're going to look back at and be like, yeah, remember, it was a little bit of a shaky start when they go off on a long run. However, ESPN power rankings are out. Guess who's not number one anymore?
The Celtics, and they shouldn't be.
They have dropped down to number two.
That's
the
it?
Cleveland Cavaliers, who were at 3 last week, have jumped up to number one at 12-0. They'll probably be 13-0 after tonight. The Oklahoma City Thunder at 9-2 dropped from 2 down to 3 to make room for the Celtics, I would imagine. And rounding out the top 5 is Golden State at number 4. They went up a spot at 9-2. And then the Nuggets, who jumped up from 11th to 5th. With a 7-3 record, and that's got to be basically on the strength of everything that Jokic is doing. He's been,
yes,
out of his mind lately.
MVP.
And, yeah, playing like an MVP for sure. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Right now, we are going to go behind the glass like we will be doing here in the 5 o'clock hours going forward. We had a quiz with Stiz last week,
uh-oh,
and today, here comes Big Mike for a What Big If Mike Wednesday. What If Wednesday. Is well, you want to explain this one to Andy or Stiz? Someone else wanted
well,
to break
this
down?
This is a behind the glass segment.
Go
so
ahead,
I'll
yeah,
let Stiz,
okay.
Explain
so
it.
Yeah, we all collectively came up with. Okay, you can stay in there, Mike. It's called What If Wednesday.
Yep.
And so I have went around the building and I've asked, you know, anyone I could find, give me a what if scenario. It could be anything. It could be,
doesn't have to be
sports
either,
related.
Right, yeah.
It could be historical related. It could be pop culture related. So we have this bucket. We will keep this bucket going, and we'll ask you guys to choose one for now each, and we'll all talk about it as a group, and we'll see if we get some funny and interesting answers.
So I have a quick question.
Okay. Yes.
That maybe was an off-air question, but I'm going to ask it on air. Are we going to allow listeners to take part?
Now, I think that would be a great idea to let listeners, they can contact me at Stiz Grimey on all social media if you have some funny what ifs for the guys. I think that would be great for listener participation,
yes,
as well as employee participation as well.
Because we don't want to see them on text to us.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea is kind of do it on the fly,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So if you have ideas for What If Wednesday, don't just text them in, because then it defeats the purpose, because we'll read it, we'll see it.
Yeah, send them right over to me and I will put them in our What If box.
So can I be first? Can I be the first? I haven't looked at it yet. Have you looked at yours?
I didn't even get one. Are we both getting one? I thought it was just one.
Yeah, no. One each.
One each.
Go ahead. You can go let Arcane grab one. But don't open them at the same time. So if Andy goes first, Andy open yours first,
so
and then
look.
We'll go.
Okay, I won't open
mine. Okay. And I read it out loud, okay?
Yes.
What if the Red Sox didn't come back against the Yankees in 2004?
Well, if the Red Sox didn't come back against the Yankees in 2004, then I think not only would John Henry and Tom Werner and all of them gone even crazier the next offseason. I mean, they traded Nomar.
Mm-hmm.
That may have been, if they didn't come back and they traded Nomar, people would have looked at that move like it was the worst thing ever. They would have looked at that and said, I can't believe you traded Nomar. That's why you lost. They, in the year prior, I mean, that was the Aaron Boone, Tim Wakefield thing. So I think that move would be looked at with much, much more scrutiny. What else? Manny Ramirez would have a totally different. David Ortiz may not have ever taken off as Big Poppy. I mean, that could have been a chain of events that changed the entire course of the baseball fandom around here and everything else. I mean, that turned players into legends. People still know Curtis Laskanik's name because of that. That would have had a major, major ripple effect. But I think the first thing that popped into my head when you read that was people would look back at the Nomar trade and they would say, that was why you lost. You lost because you traded Nomar. I can't believe you did that. What a terrible move. How stupid can you be? And now you're never going to win anything. And that's, I don't think they never would have won anything. I mean, they still had Pedro and Ortiz and Ramirez and all those guys. They had a good team. But the Nomar trade would have been super scrutinized to the point where that could have gotten, you know, guys fired. That could have, a lot of things could have come from that. Theo Epstein, that was his thing. You know, Theo is this young guy trading Nomar Garciaparra out of here. That would have been a big, big problem and could have changed the entire trajectory of really everything that happened after that, not just with the Red Sox, but all throughout the city. That started all these owners being competitive with each other. Yep. And Danny Ainge talked about it. He's like, yeah, once the Patriots won, then the Red Sox won, there's pressure on us, pressure on the Bruins, all these things. It all would have been not completely wiped away because the Patriots still would have been good. But for the Red Sox, they were the long-suffering team. They were the ones that needed it the most. And if they didn't get it there, I don't know what would have happened. But it wouldn't have been
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Nomar trade would have gone down as an all-time bad move.
Absolutely. That Nomar trade, because a lot of people love Nomar in this city, and I think that would have changed the view of that trade. I also think it's hard to know, would it have catapulted them toward more aggressive team-building, spending, maneuvering, or made them question it? I don't know. Like, the Ortiz factor is definitely in there. I was trying to look at free agents. Like Carlos Beltran, I believe, was a free agent that following year. Do they go, like, do they sign one of those guys? Is there somebody like that where they're like the next big thing, gonna add something, the next big fish to try to get over the top? And I definitely think it changes the aura of the city. And who knows what comes moving forward with sports. Now, the Patriots are still winning, right? I'm assuming the Patriots are still winning. I don't know if you can say the Red Sox caused the Patriots to not win, sort of thing.
I don't think you can say that, but okay, yeah.
You know, so I think the Patriots are still a dynasty, and they're the only show in town, so to speak, and there's an interesting factor there. I still think the Red Sox and this ownership group would have been aggressive, but if you don't achieve it, and like Dave Roberts doesn't exist, right? He doesn't exist.
Right.
Maybe he's not the
I mean, he exists, but he's not, you know, that whole play didn't happen and all that.
Butterfly effect. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not the manager of the Dodgers.
Could be.
Maybe they don't have two World Series now.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big believer in the butterfly effect.
Me too.
That matters.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have a Dave Roberts bobblehead thing.
That's true.
That a very nice man at Fenway gave you.
Which, thank you. Shout out to my guy Tom over there at security station, who was so good to us all season long, but also made a point of holding one of those Dave Roberts bobbleheads.
It's the only time I've ever seen you happy. I've been working with you 2.5 months. It's the only time I've seen you genuinely happy.
Might be the only time I ever was happy.
Okay.
All right. This is a good one for Andy Hart. Andy, I can't wait to hear your answer to this.
I don't like it. I feel like I'm being set up.
What if Tupac and Biggie never got murdered?
Then they'd still be alive.
That's true. They would be.
How the hell should, like, that is, go ahead.
This is your segment, apparently.
No, well, you got to answer it.
I'd answer it. They'd still be
mine.
Alive.
I know they'd still be alive.
And the rap game would be better than ever.
I don't know about that, but what's the butterfly effect? You can't think of any the butterfly flaps its wings. The guy misses Biggie, or misses Tupac, and they continue on making music. You don't think that would have had a butterfly effect on music at the 90s?
Maybe.
I think it definitely would have.
Doesn't this also tie into the current Diddy scandal somehow?
It does.
Oh, of course.
You know, I was listening to...
See? Save myself.
I was listening to... I forget, it was Big Pop. I was listening to a Biggie song the other day. And at the end... Yeah, it was Big Pop, because at the end, Diddy comes on and he's like, tell your friends to get with my friend. I was like, ugh. Oh, God.
Tell everybody to get in a room together.
Tell your friends not to get with Diddy's friends and not to go to his house and not to get the baby oil, not to do any of that stuff. Tell your friends to stay away from his friends and that nobody has to be friends is what I was thinking with that. But I definitely think that if Biggie and Tupac were still alive, that changes the career of Jay-Z. That could change the career of like Nas and guys like that,
yep.
Big pop rappers who would still have been sort of under their shadow and in the shadow of those guys. I think that definitely would have been the case. I'm trying to think other 90s rappers that would have affected, but Jay-Z's the one who springs
to
mind. Well,
I have a question for you, Arkan. If Biggie and Pac are never murdered, so most people, Andy, you ask them, who are the best rappers? Tupac and Biggie.
Eminem.
Everyone said, I agree with that, but for the most part.
I think Cool G Rap, but anyway, go on.
That's a real backpacker answer.
Yes, it is.
Are Biggie and Pac considered the best rappers if they never die? Because I do think that them passing played a huge part in their legacies.
I think both of them would have had tough second halves. I think that Tupac was already sort of going down a path of this like artsy fartsy kind of stuff, and he would have been in movies and things like that, but I'm not sure that he would have still been considered a great rapper after all of that. He was already on track to be, you know, he was in Poetic Justice and what was the movie where he was Bishop?
Above the Rim.
No.
Oh, Juice.
Juice, yeah, right. I was trying to say, but I was about to say Boys in the Hood. He was in Above the Rim too, right?
Yeah.
The brother of the security guard.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he was already sort of on that path. Biggie, on the other hand, you could already sort of tell. I mean, unless he broke away from Puffy, Puffy was doing all those remakes of old songs and stuff. And I think Biggie, if he got wrapped up into that, that would have hurt him. And not because he's not talented or anything. I prefer him to Tupac. But that would have been problematic in the greatest conversations because, you know, Nas had a great debut album and people still consider him an all-time great. But it wasn't like a cutoff after that. He had some duds afterwards, and you know, the big beef with Jay-Z and everything sort of brought him back up. But like, I think that in general, there would have been a much different trajectory for a lot of people. And if Biggie and Tupac had not passed away so young, then they probably would have gone through the same late career rapper steps that everyone goes through, where you suddenly become lame and the next generation comes up and that's it. I think that would have happened to them. It happens to everybody.
So the text line said they co-host the Olympics with Snoop.
True.
You never know.
So do you think they were selling out going mainstream? Is that what you're alluding to, kind of?
I don't know about mainstream. I think Tupac already was kind of mainstream.
No, but I mean, you make it sound like you didn't care for him going into movies in that world.
No, I like those movies.
He was good. He was good. I could see him getting an Oscar.
He was a good actor. I mean, I thought he was a good actor.
See, that's a good one. He would have won an Oscar.
Could have won an Oscar. Could have. But would he still be considered the greatest rapper of all time?
I don't know. When you die young, it inflates your legacy.
100%. Yeah.
100%. Like, I think, not to switch talk, like the Hernandez thing. I think people make Hernandez out to be a little bit more than he was.
As a player?
Yeah. Gronk was a GOAT
good player.
Yeah. He was a good player. People pretend that they were on an equal playing field.
I would like to know that, because I've been wondering this, watching this Hernandez show. Was Hernandez as good as or better than Rob Gronkowski?
Get the F out of here.
Okay.
He wasn't. Better is the most disrespectful thing you could ever say, and he wasn't as good as. He was a different type of player. He's more of a slot receiver than a true tight end like Gronk was. But no, he was good. Gronk was generationally great, all-time great.
Because Edelman said himself on the podcast, if that stuff never happens with Hernandez,
100%.
Like, things could have been way different.
They were pushing Welker out. They were pushing Welker out. They were pushing Edelman down. You watch drills, and when they broke up into passing drills, Welker and Hernandez were in the same line. Like, they were slot receivers, the same positional grouping. Gronk's a tight end, a beast, an inline guy, a blocker. I just think, like, even Bill O'Brien said, Gronk's the greatest of all time. He was on Edelman's podcast. And the duo might have been the best duo of all time. I'll listen to that, because I think they have very different skills. But Hernandez was more a Travis Kelce. He was a Travis Kelce type, and you know I push back against him as a tight end and his greatness. He's a stat accumulator, a pass catcher. He also, and I'll stand by this to the day, always cut to the inside. I don't know how everybody fell for it. He would catch a pass out of the slot and always cut to the inside. And I'm like, if I know this, how can you jackasses let him do it every time he catches a pass? He goes to the inside and you let
well,
him get
extra yards.
Well, if
not, he'd kill them. So.
Sure. Now you've threatened them. Good point.
Speaking of Aaron Hernandez, little WEEI shout out last night.
Huh? Yeah, that was funny. Which and
got
I think
some WEEI
they,
love on
yes,
FX,
and they go back to my point that and let me be fully transparent that I think that that information would have came out no matter what. But I believe that that information of him being gay played a big part in his unaliving.
It's I mean listen that that was if you
That's
haven't
what you're
seen
supposed
it
to
yet
call it,
right yeah if you haven't seen it yet but that was I mean that was pretty much the thing that in the show. Right? I mean, they.
Yeah,
they
that's kind of. That, yeah.
So you both They're believe.
It. Well, I think it had something to do with it. I think the show really went over the top trying to explain away all the evil stuff he did because he was not okay with being gay. You know, I just right. feel like that was a very convenient way to sort of excuse a lot of stuff.
Well, everything.
Implies
they layered
that he was like a good guy in this, you know, the heart of gold, but then all of a sudden, you know, he was, had a problem with being gay and not wanting to be out in front of his teammates. So that's why he started smoking angel dust on the way to practice. Like, he was kind of off the rails before any of that happened. And I think that my main complaint with the show is that I feel like they put it all on the gay thing. And that's, I don't know, something seems like less than right with that to me.
I think he may have been a punk. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like some of those kids that
definitely
are they're
punk,
just punks.
Yeah. Definitely some of that. But I also don't know that I agree that they put it all on the gay thing, as you said. They started with the molestation thing,
right,
where like
true.
The birthday party. They kept leading you down the CTE road.
There's a whole
road.
Scene with the lawyer about that. You'll see when you see the finale,
I just think they tried to layer the reasons that all either individually could have pushed him in a certain direction or maybe as a compilation, right? Pushed him in a certain direction. All these issues finally broke him. And there's probably some truth to that. There's probably some truth that all those various things in some way caused him to snap. I also think Stiz is right. I think there was also just he was a punk.
Yeah.
And maybe those are sort of excuses or whatever. And there's other people that are punks that don't do that. They're just punks. They don't murder people.
Texter in the 401 says, if Tupac doesn't die, Will Smith doesn't slap Chris Rock. That's probably true.
Oh, my God. Talk about
probably
a butterfly
true.
Effect.
There's your butterfly
That's a
effect
good one.
Right there.
Can I get an explanation on that? What the hell does that mean?
Because Tupac and Jada Pinkett Smith were a thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, well, before she was Jada Pinkett Smith, obviously. But when she was just Jada Pinkett, her and Tupac
so
were...
she's been a thing with... Or
doing,
is it a different
a little list? Yeah. You know
well, supposedly, like Tupac was like her true love,
yeah.
and that
she said that. Recently,
yes, yeah, recently.
She's a terrible wife. Along with banging his friends' kids. Yeah,
yeah, her
she's
kids.
A terrible her kids' wife. Friends. That's what it is. Yeah.
Surprised he hasn't gone off the rails more.
I mean, no, he went on a talk show and
Chris Rock in the middle of the Oscars.
Yeah, but that's not really off the rails.
It kind of is. I mean, it's not like Hernandez off the rails, but it's certainly. And who knows how great of a husband he is either. Anyway, that is What If Wednesday.
I like it. This is going to be fun.
As we go beyond behind the glass in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll return with Odds and Ends next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.